Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
Okay, so this is a topic that has been a favorite of mine for years and years and years. Even when I was a teenager, I was always trying to figure out how to manage my time. And becoming a homeschool mom made it even that much more important. And so it has been something that I have studied for years and years. Is that better? Okay, there we go. So it's been a topic that I've studied for years and years and years. And I've taken a little bit from everybody that I've read about and changed it from business to family, and hopefully we'll be able to get through what is normally an 8-week class that I teach and scrunch it down to 40 minutes. So let's see what we can do. Okay, so time management. Most often when we think of time management, we think of how much more we can get done in an hour than what we could do before we got started. That is not the time management that we're going to be talking about today. If you want a big discussion about that, you can find a podcast that I did. You can find it at katieteakin.com, and just look for Dana Wood, and you'll find a discussion about that perspective. But we don't have time to discuss that today. What we're going to talk about is the nitty-gritty. So how many of you are brand new to homeschooling? Okay. Okay, well, brand new. How many of you have been homeschooling for a year and have figured out that you don't know what you don't know now, and so that's why you're here? Okay, and then how many of you have been homeschooling for a while and just need a refresher? How many of you struggle with all the things that you are required to do? Okay, so what we're going to do today is we're going to change your paradigm on time and what that involves, and help you be able to be mindful about, I mean, that's a big word right now, but if you're not mindful about how you spend your time and why you do the things you do, then you cannot control your time. So that's what we're going to talk about. And I wish I had a PowerPoint for you, so I'm going through my PowerPoint, but you don't get to see it. But you can find it online from another previous one. Class that I taught. Okay, so as a homeschool mom, you have a million things that you need to do. You and then as you add your children's education to everything that you're supposed to do as a mom, it just adds that much more to the burden that you feel. So if you have to begin with the end in mind. Instead of looking at your life how you think everybody else thinks you should live your life, you have to look at how you want to live your life. What is important to you? What are the things that you want to accomplish? What are things that you absolutely cannot do without in your life? Instead of trying to cram everything that everybody expects for you in your life. There are times and seasons, and the things that you can do when you have a lot of littles are not the same as when you have a lot of teens, and you only have one or 10 or whatever. I have 10 children. So it really gives you a perspective when you sit down and actually think about what it is. If I'm homeschooling my children, what does that look like? If I'm homeschooling, am I trying to create the public school in my home? Am I trying to create a house of learning? Am I trying to balance the two of those? What does my homeschool look like? What is the level of cleanliness do I want in my home? Each of us has a different definition of what clean is, and so you need to decide what you are comfortable with and what you are not comfortable with and make that decision. The way that you keep your house, you have to decide. Okay, first of all, you have to hit reality and realize that if your kids are home all day, you will never have a Better Homes and Gardens house. Not going to happen. As soon as you clean that room, they're going to say, oh, fresh space, and then it's not going to be clean anymore. But you have to decide what is acceptable. Is it okay that you have science experiments all over the dining room table when your husband comes home? Is it okay? Like one time, my husband retired and I was still homeschooling kids. So I didn't retire, but he retired. And we were doing a unit on Goldbrook machines. And one of my sons just absolutely fell in love with the concept of it. And so he had them all over the house. And we had metal marbles and we had all sorts of things all over the house, all these contraptions that he had built and all the way down the staircase. And he was just loving it. And my husband was like, is he ever going to clean this up? And I'm like, probably not for a couple weeks. And my husband was not used to that because usually the mess was cleaned up by the time he got home. But are you okay with that, with your kids exploring things and having your house a mess? If not, is there a room that you need to put them in? So those are the things that you need to balance in order to be able to maintain the time management that you want. What are you trying to create? So the next thing that you need to figure out is your roles. Now, we talk about roles and we think of them, okay, so I'm a mom and I'm a homeschool mom and I have these other responsibilities. But a lot of us look at our lives and we say, okay, I am a mom and so I'm going to do all of these things. And then I have my church responsibilities and I've got all these things to do. And then I have everybody that comes and asks me all these things that they want me to be involved in. So you have this list and then you try and throw homeschooling on top of that. And what does it create? Chaos. You can't do it. So Stephen Covey teaches that you can only have 7 roles in your life, whatever those roles are. And you need to decide, you know, like a homeschool teacher, being a mom, whatever church calling you have, whatever outside of your house responsibilities, you can add your homemaking role to that. You have to figure it out. And decide what those roles are. And you have to be intentional with your roles because you have to define what that role means to you. It's easy to sit down and make a list. Oh, I do this and this and this and this and this. But what does that mean to you? Do you get satisfaction out of doing that particular role? Or is it one that someone else has assigned to you? If someone has assigned you that role, do you like it? Do you want to be doing that? If your friend says, oh, well, we should do this co-op together and this is not something that you enjoy, is that really what you want to do, is add the role of co-op coordinator to your list of things that you're doing? As you're mindful about those things, then the roles that you have should be roles that you're passionate about. And that gives you the power to say no. If you have your roles laid out and someone comes to you, like I was working with one client, and she was struggling to balance working with her children. She was not a homeschool mom, but she had just started working, and she was trying to balance her home life with her new responsibilities to working. And I happened to be standing next to her when someone asked her to design and build the stake float for the Pioneer Parade. And it is something that she's an artist. She would totally love to do that. And I looked at her and I just smiled because not only had she just returned to work, in order to keep that job, she had to get her master's degree. And she had 18 months to get her master's degree. That was a role that meant that she couldn't do anything else. But once she identified that the most important role I have is my family, my job, and my getting that master's degree, then she could say no to everything else. And so she looked at me and she smiled, and I heard her say this, the thing that I teach all my clients. I really appreciate you asking me to do that. I would love to help you, but I'm sorry, I'm not available right now. And that's all you have to say. And you don't have to give them an excuse. You don't have to say, well, I'm doing this, because then they say, well, I'm sure you could just squeeze it in there. Because their crisis is not your crisis. There will always be someone else there to do that job, even though you would really like to do it. If you really feel passionate about it, then you're going to find the time to do it. If it's not something you really want to do, then no matter how you try and cram it in there, you'll be resentful the whole time you're doing it. So you might as well just say no and be focused on the things that you are most passionate about. Times and seasons allow for the rotation of roles. So just because you say, these are my seven roles that I'm going to do right now, and there's other things that you'd like to add to your life, just know that you can. These roles don't stay the same. As our kids get older, as circumstances change during certain times of the year, we can add different roles and take different roles away depending on what our goals are. And as we figure that out, that allows us to be able to really focus in on the things that are most important to us and not be burdened by all the possibilities of everything that's out there. And I would just say that if you have lots of littles, five roles is about all you can handle because those kids take up so much. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say, you know, I have got a newborn and this is my life, and skinny it back. And then once that baby is not a baby anymore, then you can add things back into your schedule. But when you go into life and say, I have to maintain things because this is what LDS women do, and this is what homeschool moms do, and this is what people with clean houses do, that's when you run into problems and you overburden yourself and you burn yourself out. You don't do your kids any favors by creating a life that you burn yourself out on, and then you resent everything that you do. So find out what your roles are, and from those roles, that's where you develop your goals. Your goals are tied to your roles, not the other way around. Okay, so in your handouts, it looks like everybody's to your handouts, there's a time map in there. It's somewhere in there. So if you look at your time map, it layers the day, and it has the times. You know, I think it starts at 5 or 6. I don't remember what time. It should be at the back of your, at the end of the handouts that I have. I don't have the page number. Is it in there? They didn't add the time map in there. Anyway, so a time map. Show you on my my PowerPoint. This is a time map, and I color code mine according to my roles, so that I can look at it and say yes. There you go. Can you guys see this? Yes. So I do a time map every week. And this is why time maps are so important to homeschool moms. Because we say yes to everything. Oh, yes, you can participate in this activity. And oh, yes, you can do this. And oh, you need somebody to bring a meal into somebody on Thursday. I can totally do that. And we end up overscheduling ourselves. But if you do a time map, then you can see that it is absolutely impossible for you to do everything that you've assigned yourself to do that week. You just can't do it. So then you have to drop things and figure out what is most important. So does that make sense? Have you looked at the time map? And I have a master time map that I have that I have laminated. And that tells me what my ideal schedule would be like. Because your ideal schedule is what your schedule is without people in it. As soon as you add people into your schedule, it's totally upside down. So this is the ideal, and this is what you decide that you would really like to do. But once you start throwing people in there and you start coordinating with your family, then it's going to change. And that's why you come up with one each week, to be able to say, okay, this is a realistic estimation of what my time is going to be this week, and I'm already tired. So as you learn the skill of and habit of having a time map, the time map allows you to really be focused on the things that are most important, and you realize where you're wasting time and where you're doing things that you really don't want to be doing. And so you can weed out those things that are taking up time that you don't even realize. Like if you spend hours scrolling through Facebook, but if you have and you realize that you've just spent 2 hours doing that, and you look at your time map and go, you know, this is what I was supposed to be accomplishing instead, it helps you focus on what you should be doing. Not that time map should become the rule of your life. What it's showing you is a visual picture of where your time goes. And so as you start to get a really strong picture of where your time goes, then you can actually sit back and say, okay, I like to have mine done before I go to church, because that's where I have a really bad habit of saying yes to what anybody asks me, because I'm not thinking of, sure, I can squeeze that in. Oh, wait, I can't do it on Thursday. But if I know what my time map is for that week and I have it already in my head and focused, then I can say, okay, yeah, I have time to do that. Or I can gleefully say, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, and be okay with it, because I know how I'm spending my time, and I'm spending my time in the places that are most important to me. Okay, so with your time map and with your roles, then you can decide what your goals are going to be. Now, I like to divide my year up into intervals. I don't know if you guys have heard of the book, the 12-week year. They talk about it for business, where you divide the year. If you set a goal in January that you're going to do something and you're going to have it done by December 1st, when do you hit the deadline? December 31st. But if you break down those goals, and like my year is divided up into 8 6-week sections. Actually, there's 2 4-week sections, and then the rest of them are 8-week sections. And I spend, 6-week sections. 6 weeks. And that is my interval. And in my interval, I have my big rocks. What's going to happen in the next 6 weeks? Oh, I have 2 children getting married. Okay, crap. Ask me how many times that has happened to me. Okay, I have 2 kids getting married. That means anything that I would say yes to is an automatic no, because my focus is going to be on this. And so I don't have to worry about all the other goals that I've set, because it's unrealistic to think that I'm going to accomplish anything but getting that wedding happening, right? There's other things that happen in our year, like at Christmas. How much are you going to get done at Christmas besides Christmas? But how many of us decide, I'm going to complete all the goals that I set for the year before January 1st? It's not going to happen. But if you know in January that these are the things you're going to be doing in August and in May and in December, then you don't worry about those goals and those things that you're going to accomplish all through the year until you hit August. You know that you're going to plan for it by the time you get to your interval, that, okay, when I plan for what I'm going to do in my 6 weeks of that includes August, that's when I sit down and write my goals for, okay, I've already kept a master list of things that are going to happen during that time. Those are my big rocks. Those will have to happen. I cannot get away from doing those. So I can throw in other things. So what habits, because it's 6 weeks, what habits am I going to have my kids focus on for the next 6 weeks? What school are we going to focus on? Because it's really difficult if you have a kid struggling in math that you're going to focus on math for the entire year. But if you do a 6-week focus where you make sure that you are focused on, if we do nothing else, we do math, then your kid's going to get really far in that 6 weeks because you put your focus on it. But if you say, okay, we're going to focus on all of our school, it's not that you're not doing that school, but you know that you're falling behind in math, and so you can focus for 6 weeks on that and know that if nothing else, you're going to pay attention to what your kid is doing in math for those 6 weeks. You're going to focus on what goals do you want your kid to accomplish in those 6 weeks. It gives you a deadline. And then at the end of that, you take a week, and this is what I love. At the end of my 6 weeks, I know that I'm going to have a week to reset. So I plan my next 6 weeks. I get my house back in order. I make sure that my school plans are set up for the following 6 weeks. Instead of doing it all at once in a full year, you get the outline for the full year, and then you chunk it into the focuses that you're going to do for the year, and then you plan for those 6 weeks. How many times do you plan for the whole year, and then you have to tear it up because your kid either moved faster through the program, or the reverse, they're taking their old sweet time with it because they're not understanding it. Then you can slow it down or speed it up according to what your kids' needs are. So I love intervals. Plus, it gives me goals that I can do. I can say, okay, this for this 6-week interval, this is what my goal is going to be. This is my, I always include something fun. What is my fun? And, you know, sometimes it's like, I'm finally going to get the pantry cleaned out. That's my fun. But I know that I have 6 weeks to do it, and so I can do a little bit, but I know I have a deadline, because otherwise that pantry is never going to get cleaned out because you put it off. Oh, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. But as you focus on those intervals, that'll gives you the opportunity to really focus in on the needs of your family for that 6 weeks and let other things go. Because you know that in the next 6 weeks, you can take the next group of activities or habits or problems or whatever it is that you want to add to that next 6 weeks. And this allows you to really be purposeful throughout the full year instead of just in September and January. Does that make sense? Anybody have any questions about that? Yes. Yes, I give myself a week, a whole week. So, and that doesn't mean that I am, and that means my kids take that week off. We don't take it off. We do the 3 R's. And then for our extended stuff, it's home ec, go clean your room. We're going to make sure that the bathroom actually, the floor actually gets scrubbed to mom's specifications, not just your specifications, you know, those kinds of things. And so my kids are involved in this. I don't actively tell them, oh, this is our planning week. This is, you know, because this is a list of things that you're going to be doing. They don't care whether what week it is. They just, you know, you just tell them what you're going to be doing. You know what you're going to be doing. And so this is the focus, okay, for this week. These are the areas of the house that need attention. These are the activities that we want to do. And I usually plan something fun to do just because, you know, I accomplished all my goals. Let's go do something fun. Because as a homeschool mom, we just trudge and trudge and trudge and trudge. And we never reward ourselves for what we've accomplished. And we never allow, we never admit that we actually accomplished something because there's always so many other things that we have to do. But this allows you to be able to take a step back and look at your life and evaluate and say, okay, yeah, these are the things that, because kids change so much that every 6 weeks allows you to really evaluate, okay, who's the kid that needs my attention for the next 6 weeks? Those kinds of things. So, okay, so I would also recommend 2 books, Essentialism and Effortless by Greg McKeown. He's actually LDS, and he wrote an article that talked about good, better, and best, and the 3 degrees of glory, and as we make choices in our life to manage our time, what kingdom we're actually focusing on. Effortless. So Essentialism you need to read first. There's 2 of them. Yeah, Essentialism. Yeah, they should be on your, yes. And the first one gives you an overview, and then Effortless tells you how to live an effortless life because you're not stressing out about all the things you're not doing. You're focusing on the things you are doing. Greg McKeown, McKeown. And then another fun book to read is a book by Stephen Geise. His name is Guise. And it's called Elastic Habits. And he talks about, and this, I love this principle because this is so for homeschool moms. So we set a goal. We do our SMART goals, and we have this expectation. So let's take exercise. So we are going to exercise. We're going to run a mile every day. Does every day of your week go exactly the same every single day? Can you shut the door like executives do and say, don't bug me? Wouldn't that be nice? I have my stuff I need to do. Don't bug me. Doesn't happen. But what Elastic Goal or Elastic Habits tells you is you set three levels of goals. So you want to exercise, but you know that every day you're not going to be able to, especially if you have young kids, you're not always going to be able to meet that full goal. But you can say, okay, my number one level is to run that mile. If I can't, for whatever reason, then I'm going to lift weights for 10 minutes. And then my third level, if I'm really having one of those days, then my third level is I'm going to do 1 minute of yoga. And that's going to be my exercise. So you're building the habit of exercising without setting unrealistic goals that a mom cannot meet. And you can do that with all sorts of goals that you're trying to build habits in, is set that three levels. Now, what you're doing is you're setting that habit, but you're also striving to build that habit to the point where you are running every day, because it's become such a habit for you that you just figure out how to do it. But as you're building those habits, or if you have really young children, it's a great way to really accomplish your goals and feel good about the fact that you're actually accomplishing something without being unrealistic in your expectations. Because we all know that SMART goals are just like setting ourselves up for failure, because we cannot guarantee what our days do. Okay, so calendars. How many of you have calendars? How many of you have more than one calendar? How many of you forget which calendar you put something on? How many of you decide that you're just going to give up on your calendars because it's a wasted effort, because you never remember things anyway? I couldn't live without my calendar. Yeah, I mean, I've been there. So what you have to do is you have to get in the habit of always writing things down. If you say you're going to do something, you have to write it down. So that means you either have a notebook or you use your Google calendar, whatever it is. I have a note-taking app. I don't know if you guys have heard of Otter. You can actually speak into it, and it records everything, and it actually does a transcript. So you don't have to go back and listen to it. Anyway, that's a great app to use, so that when you've agreed to do something, you can just speak it into your phone and it's there. But if you do not keep track of your calendar, that is going to stress you out. How does that stress you out, when you don't keep your calendar? Because how many times does your kid say, oh, Mom, I should have been there 30 minutes ago. Oh, and I needed 2 dozen cookies that I was supposed to take with me. So writing everything down and making sure that you keep a calendar, and that you keep one calendar so that everything goes on it, then you're gonna save yourself so much effort. And planners. How many of you use a planner? How many of you use a planner really? Yes. So the more complex you make your calendar, I mean your planner, how often do you use it? I love bullet journals. They are so cool. I love all the stickers and all the fun little things you can draw on them, and all the little... And I will spend hours putting this thing together, and it sits on my desk because I use my phone instead. Because I always have my phone with me. I don't always have my planner with me. But what my planner does is writing all that stuff down helps me get it in my head so that I know what I'm supposed to do. And then what I figured out that the reason that I don't use my planner on a daily basis, I use it more on a weekly basis, is because it's too big to chug around. So I started using 3x5 cards. And on those 3x5 cards, I write my three most important goals for the day, and that I absolutely have. And this isn't just to write it down and, oh, this would be nice. If you only get three things done that day, it should be those three things that are on your card. And then the three things I want to do in my homeschool. And if you have really complicated things in your homeschool, and you decide that you're going to deep clean all of your children's bedrooms in the same day, your card will yell at you because you'll realize that there is no way that you could actually do that. So your three things are three things that you actually can accomplish that day. And if there's only one thing that you want to accomplish that day, like you want to deep clean your kids' rooms, that's all you do that day. That's the only thing you're going to accomplish. Does that make sense? So you have all the other things that are, you know, essential to do. But the one big thing that you want to do is clean those rooms. Fine. Then you schedule it and you don't add anything else to it. And your card shows you that. And I keep it in my pocket and I pull it out. Okay, where, anytime I don't know what I'm supposed to do next, I have my thing to remind me. Because we walk into a room and we say, oh, this room needs to be cleaned. And then we walk, we take something from that room into the next room and we say, oh, I need to do that. Oh, wait a second. I told somebody I was going to email them. And so we do all of these stuff and we're busy all day long, but we don't ever finish anything. So your card will help you focus and remind you to get back to, oh, I walked into this room, but oh, yeah, I really wanted to get this thing done today. So your card brings you back. And then you can add, one of the things that I add to my card is any time that I have to leave my house, I write the time I have to leave, not the time I'm supposed to be there, the time I have to leave my house to be able to get to wherever it is and what that activity is and anything I need to bring to that activity. I write it down because I will forget. So, anybody have any questions? Okay. Yes. So I sit down and I do my planner once a week on Sundays, and I look at it during the week because all my stuff is in my planner, so I access it. But carrying it around all day, if I set it on the table, it's going to get destroyed. If I set it on the kitchen counter, it's going to get destroyed, so it stays on my desk, which means I never see it. So so my card, if it gets destroyed, it's no big deal, but I prep my cards. Because they're so simple, I do them all at once at the beginning, so I know that these are the things I want to accomplish. But then I look at it the night before or early the next morning, and I say, okay, is this still really realistic for today? Have things changed? And then I can rewrite, add things, take things off. And so I review it. I review what I did the day before, and I look at what I'm going to do this day. And that way there's continuity. And so that each day is connected to everything else. And that allows me, and I have a huge stack, and I keep my cards because this is my visual evidence that I actually accomplished something this week. Everything that's got a check mark by it, I did that. And also as it also provides you a place to write down, jot down notes. So you're in the pantry and you're cleaning your pantry, and that's on your list of things to do, and you realize, oh, I need to get more of such and such, or I need to buy, you know, if this would make this so much more efficient if I had this little doodad. You can write it on your card. You look at your card in the evening, you can write it in your planner. Instead of walking into your room to find your planner and get distracted and never get back to your pantry. Does that make sense? Okay. Any other questions about cards? Okay, so now we go on to the 80-20 principle. This principle is universal. They've studied it in depth and proven that this principle exists. There's actually two 80% principles. And this applies to everything. It applies to time, money, effort. Just about everything in this world is divided into the 80-20 principle. That means that 20% of your efforts are going to accomplish 80% of your goal. So what does that mean? That means that we as LDS women think we have to give 100% of our effort to everything that we do in order to validate the effort that we put into something. How many of you believe that? How many of you practice that? That, let me give you an example. Okay, so let's say that you are asked to bring to a primary activity cookies. So to do that 20% of your 80% of your effort is you go to the store and you buy the cookies. And everybody's happy. The kids don't notice. you get the job done. Now, if you were to do 80% of your effort to accomplish this goal, that means that you would hand make the dough and you would make sugar cookies and you would write the names of each child on there so they feel loved and appreciated, and they are so going to appreciate all this effort that I put into this cookie. Are they? No. If that is your thing and you love decorating cookies, that's fabulous. But if you hate decorating cookies, why would you go to that effort? Does that make sense? So look at the places in your life where you are giving 80% of your efforts to only accomplish a 20%. We do that as moms all the time. We think that, oh, I'm going to show my kid that I love them by doing XYZ and the kid doesn't even notice. Where if we had done the simple thing and do the same effort but do it the simplest way by simplifying that expectation, the kid still feels loved. But they don't understand the amount of effort that we were thinking we were going to put into that. Does that make sense? And this happens with 20% of your money accomplishes 80% of your efforts in your money and vice versa. But we reverse that in our thinking and we are trying to accomplish, we are spending 80% effort on something that's only going to accomplish 20% because we are expending too much energy to accomplish what actually needs to be done. And as moms, we do that all the time. That doesn't mean that everything has to be cut to the bare bones. It means you decide in your life those places where you are expending a lot of effort that no one appreciates. And you figure out how you can simplify it. I have this big sign on my wall in my kitchen, simplify. Because I love to cook. And I could make these elaborate dinners and do all the, and make the table all beautiful and, you know, have all this pretty china and all of that stuff and spend 3 hours making dinner. I have boys. Do they appreciate that I've decorated the table? No, they won't even notice 5 minutes after they sit down at the table. The only thing they care about is that food because that's what they are focused on. Now, that doesn't mean that occasionally, like on Sunday dinners, we have a nice dinner. It just means that I do not have to set the expectation that every night at my house, I have to have a dinner that I've spent 3 hours preparing. Instead, I will focus on those times when it's really important that I spend that time to create that atmosphere. What do I do about meal planning? Meal planning is... It is. Yes, exactly. So I've tried all sorts of things. Like I said, I love to cook. And so if I write down a 2-week menu and keep, you know, like they say, well, this is for time management. You come up with 14 meals and you keep repeating those 14 meals. Oh my gosh, I have no desire to go in the kitchen and make that same meal every 14 days. I love to experiment with food and do all sorts of fun stuff with it. So that's my happy place. My daughters and I were actually discussing this the other day, and they were talking about how nurturing it is for us to create meals for our family. It's nurturing to our souls that we're showing, women show love through nurturing. For us, food is nurturing. Therefore, we could spend days in the kitchen. It's not realistic. So we have to be able to find a happy balance. I have my kids help me a lot. I also make sure that nothing goes into my freezer unless it's prepped. Does that make sense? So when I buy chicken, it does not go into my freezer until it's packaged into the size that I will be actually using it. No hamburger is a solid rock in my freezer. It is cooked and put in my freezer. So I just plan that into my time because then I can make anything out of what's already half cooked in my freezers. I also do freezer meals. So if I'm making a casserole, I'll make two and put it in the freezer because it saves effort. I also have a general shopping list of things that I keep in my pantry so that are called my emergency meal plans. So I know that if I have like five meals that I know that I can make in 15 minutes. And those are always in my pantry. So no matter what happens, I can make a meal. You know, you just do those time saving and find out what's time saving for you. Like for me, one of my daughter-in-laws was looking at one, she found one of my old planners and she didn't know what it belonged to. So she's looking through it and she's like, you make 10 dozen muffins at a time? I'm like, I have 8 boys. Yes, I'm making 10 dozen muffins. And I put them in the freezer because I'm not going to make muffins every day. But I can, if I'm going to make the mess, I might as well make enough, put it in the freezer. And then when we have that emergency of, oh, we have to leave in 30 minutes and you need cookies, I've got cookies in the freezer that I can do that with. Does that answer your question? So you just look at your own situation, because I could tell you this is what I do, but you don't cook the same way I do. But you can look at ways, okay, if I simplified and if I did this and this, such as make sure that my pantry is always full with this and this, then I know I can make a meal. I prep my foods, whatever it is. When I'm really on top of my game, none of the vegetables go into my freezer into my refrigerator until they are prepped. On weeks that I know I'm going to be super busy, because I the first meal that I make that week, I just chop all the vegetables I'm going to need for the whole week. And then I can just gather them out of my fridge, and also makes me make food because I don't want to waste it. Does that make sense? I have to make this meal because I've got all the vegetables chopped, so why not? That's another thing that I do. It's similar to what you're talking about, is I know that Mondays, if I don't make a dinner at breakfast and put it in the crock pot, we aren't eating. Because I looked at my time map and saw that I would not have any time for prep. But I know that on Thursday nights, we don't go anywhere. And so that's the night that I'm going to make sure that we have a home-cooked, really good meal. And I plan that. And so I have my crockpot nights. I have my skillet nights. I have my, my freezer meals. Okay, I'm going to get my freezer meal. I'm going to use it this night. And so as you set that up, however that works for you. And for me, it changes because whatever my schedule, you know, in the summertime, it's less frantic than my kids do ballrooms. So we travel a lot for ballrooms. So that interrupts a lot of things, and I have to plan for that. So as you take into account those things, then that allows you to be able to really prep and have it work for you, because you can read all the time management books. If it does not fit what your lifestyle is, then you're not going to do it, and it's going to be a waste of time. But looking at these principles and saying, how can I apply this to my life? How can I make this work? That is what is going to be most beneficial to you. Yes. Okay, I give a card to each of my kids each day. You can buy those spiral-bound ones that are color-coded. I love the spiral-bound because and we have a rule. If you lose your card, then you just start over. Whatever you already accomplished, you have to start over again because I can't prove that you did it. But because I'm only doing 6 weeks of planning, then I can decide, I know what the assignments are going to be. And so, you know, number one, your number one assignment is this. Your number two assignment is this. And depending on how independent they are, your goal, let me just tell you, as, you know, this is foundation, your goal in homeschooling is to make your kids as independent in their education as you can, not to sit there and baby them. And so as you allow them to be more independent and give them the card that tells them, you know, these are the things you're going to do today. I also include their chores of what they, you know, this is what your chores are going to be for the day. These are the places you have to be today so that they know, and this is the time you have to be ready for it. And so they know exactly what's happening. Does that make sense? Yes, we have a family council every Sunday, and we talk about what everybody's doing. This is what everybody's expectations are. This is going to be our focus. We talk about homeschool expectations, and we talk about where everybody needs to be and all of that stuff at our family council. And then the kids know, okay, this is how far you need to get in your school for this week, and then I give them their individual assignments. They can do the entire thing for the, if they do all of their math on Monday, I'm okay with that. But if they didn't, then they have to continue doing it. And also, they don't get to do anything fun until they show me their card. And this means one of the reasons I started using the card is because I could give them a planner and have all this pretty stuff on it, but it's not realistic 2 weeks from now. Does that make sense? But the card, not only do they have to show me that they've accomplished all of those things, I don't have to worry that I'm forgetting. Oh, you, did you do your math today? And they look at me like, what do you think, Mom? And they didn't. Then I have visual reference to be able to say, okay, yeah, you did or you did not do it. And they have to show it to me. So they're independent and they have to touch base with me. And that allows me to keep track of lots of kids at one time. Any other questions? Yes. So you put passwords on all of your computers so they cannot get on their computers without you giving. That's how I check. It's return and report, right? You've reported to me that you've done this stuff. I'm going to go check it. And then I go in and check and see. If they wander off because they feel like, well, Mom hasn't given me, if they have no access to any of those, then, you know, if they go play for a few minutes, it's not a big deal. You can drag them back. But I've found once they get on the computer, taking them off that computer is like a nightmare. So they just don't get on until I give them permission to get on. And that goes, I don't care how old they are. And I don't care how old they are. If you are still in my home school, I'm still in charge of the computer. We still have a rule that the computer does not go on until 3 o'clock. If you were in public school, you would not get on the computer before 3 o'clock. So find something else to do. Yeah, exactly. Because bored kids are creative kids. My kids are most creative when they're supposed to be doing their school. Well, one of the things I did, I had some kids that were, when they got to be teenagers and were in high school, it was really difficult to get them to do, follow through on a lot of stuff. And what I finally instituted, and you can come up with however this works in your family, is if you want to have a party on Friday, I'm totally okay with that, and you can invite as many people over, and I'll make pizza. But that means all of your schoolwork has to be done of everything I assigned you, and the house has to be spotlessly clean, which are two goals that I want to have on Friday anyway. So if I do that and they have that big reward, then they actually will do it. And the first couple times you're like, sorry, you invited people over, they can't come. You only have to do that once or twice, and then they're the, okay, Mom really means it. So I loved it because I accomplished, the only thing I had to do was make some pizza. And I had a clean house, and all my kids had done their stuff. So find what motivates your kids, and it may not be, they may not be social creatures, they may not want to party, but what do they want? And find that thing, and that becomes their, that you could sit there and play all you want to, I don't care, but let me tell you that these things are going to be done by Friday. And if you have to do it all day Friday, you still did it. Does that make sense? Any other questions? Yeah, that's, yes. And you don't, a lot of times we feel like we need to get in confrontations with our kids about it, but we just set the rules and let the consequences. I saw a parenting article this week that said that one of the reasons children are so filled with anxiety these days is because we are telling them what the consequences of them not doing things are. Oh my gosh, I laughed so hard. So I read the article to my 16-year-old son, and he said, no, actually it's the opposite. It's because we haven't set any expectations for our kids that they have that anxiety. But when we set the consequences, both positive and negative, that's when their anxiety lessens, and they know exactly what's expected of them. From a 16-year-old, just so you know, they won't. And what is the most important lesson? Them learning that math or learning that they have to govern themselves? Okay, that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.